tremendous strength and blessing upon those who faithfully teach and instruct them, Lord. Pray that your word would not return void from those young hearts. Pray, Lord, for those who are sick today, Lord. Quite a number of people just knocked down by tummy bugs and flus. And just to ask for your grace upon them. Pray that they'll be blessed as they watch online. Lord, and we just pray for your word as it goes out, that it will just bring life into our hearts, bring joy, bring freedom, and cause us to be able to live in the fullness of the relationship that we enjoy with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Kids, you guys may go. Have a wonderful time. See you later. We're going to read today from 1 Peter chapter 4, and verse 10, starting in verse 10. And it says, as each has received the gift, use it to serve one another as God's stewards, as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. And we've started a series based on the great truth in this passage. We see in this passage that God has given us grace gifts. We saw last week that that word gift there is charismata. And he's given us grace gifts. Charis is a Greek word for grace. And it's the word that we see that we've been given this job to steward the manifold grace of God to the world. And last week we looked also at that word stewardship. In the Greek it's oikonomos. It comes from the word house and manager or distributor. And so a steward is someone who takes the resources of the owner of the household and distributes it to the servants, to the children. So he's actually a manager and a distributor. And God is calling us to be managers and distributors of his incredible grace. And his grace is any expression of his goodness and his favor and his blessing and his providence towards a hurting world. And that grace is manifested most powerfully in the message of the gospel. God's generosity and his grace is shown most incredibly where Jesus died on the cross in our place so that we didn't have to die, so that we could be restored to God. Jesus became sin for us, so that we could become the righteousness of God and enter into an eternal relationship with the Heavenly Father. That's the most powerful manifestation of God's grace to us. And God calls us to be stewards of that manifold grace. And if we're to speak, we speak as those speaking the very oracle of God with boldness and confidence as we tell others of Jesus' death on the cross. And we are to serve with the strength that God gives us. And God's given all of us gifting. Charismata, that we can be a blessing to others. And we're called to be stewards of that as we distribute it. And in our discipleship journey, we're learning to walk with the owner, the creator of all things. And as we take our position as steward under that household owner, there comes a divine order that leads to a blessedness, not only to our lives, but to those who are around us. And we're looking at that so we can live in the fullness of that father-son, father-daughter relationship. Because we're always looking to him. Today what we're going to start talking about a bit is being stewards of finance. And a lot of what stewardship is about, it has to do with finances. And last week we were looking at 2 Corinthians. We're going to look at it again. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. And it's a beautiful passage. This passage, if you meditate on it and come to grips with it, it's actually mind-blowing what is promised here. And Corinthians says, the point is this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. As it is written, he distributed freely. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed for the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness, and you will be enriched in every way, to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but it is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. There are incredible promises in this passage that we read. It's talking about the God of infinite resource, a God of infinite generosity, making all grace abound to us. And I tried to highlight with the way I read it, all the times it says, in everything, in every situation, of everything, the increase, the multiplication, there's keys here to tap into the source of the one who owns everything. And for that to be multiplied into our circumstances, into our situation. Incredible truth. And the passage here says that God loves someone who is willingly generous. And the key to tapping into all the blessing of the scripture is to have that willing generosity. The Bible says God loves that. And when God sees that, he is able to make it happen. He is able to provide. He has all the ability, and to bring God's ability into the world, all the blessings of heaven into the world. God is looking for a conduit. He's looking for a key. He's looking for a catalyst, and that catalyst is us.
Amen.
That catalyst is you. And a willing, generous heart is the thing that sparks. It's the switch, Robbie, that switches on the flow of God's blessing to the world. And we want to look at that. How do we become those distributors of God's amazing grace? And so we're gonna talk about preaching, and I want to address the elephant in the room. Very often when you talk about finances, there's a terrible stigma attached to talking about finances, and it's apt to scare preachers away from talking about finances. And that's probably because of the terrible image that's been portrayed by the manipulative, money-grabbing, prosperity cult espousing televangelists, and we've all seen that stuff. I can't watch that stuff. It might be cloaked in sort of Christian language, but it just turns my stomach. That sort of manipulation where beautiful truths of God's word have been twisted to selfishness and personal gain. But the thing about preaching is God calls preachers to preach the full counsel of God. And you see that in Acts 20, verse 27. He says, "For I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God." And the obligation of any teacher is to make sure that we teach everything that's in God's word, even those things that might have a bad a stigma attached to them. And I was challenged by that. Some of you might know the story, but when in South Africa for 10 years, I had the privilege of teaching black South Africans, who lived in one of the sort of lowest of socioeconomic brackets. They literally had no margin. Whatever money they managed to save, they used to try and educate their children better, quite often not even having enough. So incredibly, incredibly poor. But what people so rich in faith, so people so full of the kingdom of God. I used to be humbled and preached to, and I see people wrapped in blankets and towels waiting for a lift to come to church on a freezing cold Tuesday night to come and hear God's word. But the hunger and the passion, it schooled my heart. But one thing, I took years and years. I taught those guys for 10 years. I just never taught about giving. I just felt like, God, how can we ask people who have got nothing? How can I teach them about giving? And then finally the Lord rebuked me and he said, "Bruce, how dare you hold back the blessing of my word, the truths that are in my word, because of your own whatever it was that was stopping. You need to preach the full counsel of God." And I started to share some messages on that, and it was so beautiful just to see the lights come on, just to see those guys lock into the blessing, because there's a scripture in Acts. It says this, Acts 20, verse 35. It says, "In all things I have shown you that by working hard in this way we will help the weak, and remember the words of our Lord Jesus, how he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive." And the Lord said to me, "You're keeping these guys from this blessing of giving." And those are the red letters. If you look in the book of Acts, the words of Jesus, there's a few places where there's red letter. the words of Jesus. And this is one where Acts quotes Jesus. It's a blessing to give. And as I started to preach that, these guys started to tap into that blessing. And in the consequent years, we saw amazing stuff happen in our nation. Apartheid was dissolved, and the future, the prospects of many of those people's kids changed and improved. Those guys saw God providing supernaturally in ways that was definitely supernatural, because those guys didn't have the resources. So today I'm preaching with joy, a message that I know is a profound truth of God's word, and we won't let it be hijacked. And we won't be embarrassed about it, because this is an incredible, incredible blessing, an incredible key for us to live in great fullness. So if we go back to the passage in Corinthians, and some of the highlighted words there is just that abundant resource of God. But we're going to look at how we become that channel. So we're going to look at a few truths in this passage, and one of them is firstly in verse 7. It says that when we give, we must give from the heart. Now, giving is a matter of the heart. It's not a matter of the pockets or even of the hands. It starts in the heart, and it has to touch our hearts. And that's what I trust today's message will do. This line sets us free, because it says here, not reluctantly or under compulsion. So that just frees us. Because God's saying, I don't want anybody to feel compelled to do this. What you're reading in this, don't feel compelled. Don't let the preacher manipulate you, as preachers quite often do. And I'm not going to do that. But what I want to do is just look. That word there, compulsion, is very interesting in the Greek. It means, I've lost it. It means constraint, necessity, imposed either by circumstances or by law or duty. Now that's really interesting, because the first thing is that it's not by necessity. Now if we look at the giving in Scripture, and the Scripture is full of giving, it was often to meet a need. But what the Scripture says is we're not driven by need when it comes to giving. The giving that blesses God, the giving that's from the heart, is prompted by the Holy Spirit. It's prompted by the voice of the Father. It's not purely needs driven. So we don't go, there's a big need, I have to meet it. We have to meet it. God very often speaks to us to meet need, but giving should never be need driven. So we don't say, we're gonna do this because of the need. But God says to our hearts, I see a need. You see a need. Now I'm speaking to you to meet that need. Then the other thing is, it says there, it's not by law or duty. And we must never do something because we are fearful. We must never give because we feel manipulated or coerced. We must never do it out of just a duty. We must do it with a cheerful heart, recognizing the generosity of our Father, recognizing the willingness of our Father to pour out His blessing through us. And then we connect with that. And we do it free. So please do not feel coerced by the word that we preach today. But if we go, Holy Spirit, help me to grasp the power and the blessing and the beauty of what these scriptures are saying, so that I can live more in the fullness of that, and become a blessing to others, that is a wonderful outcome. There's another word that God always speaks to me through words, and there's another word that God has spoken to me so powerfully with, and that's the fact that it says God loves a cheerful giver. Now that word cheerful is interesting in the Greek as well. It's hilaros. I get the English word hilarious from it. And it means just to be merry, and then the root of hilaros is actually to choose. So what we get when we unpack it means a prompt, willing, cheerful, joyous promptness to do the thing. So it's just like there's this joyful, bubbling, excited willingness to give. And I like the hilarious bit because it's sometimes almost like you're just giving, you're like, this is crazy. It's just crazy. It's hilarious. But God inspires us to begin to just respond out of joy. The other word that is related to this is our word exhilaration. And that comes through the Latin, and the Latin root is also that hilaros from the Greek. And that really spoke to me because I'm so grateful to God, probably of many of the truths that are in the Bible, that God alerted me to this truth very early in my life. And I'm preaching this message with such conviction because I've seen time and time and time and time again God's unbelievable provision and blessing, where choices are made not to gain more, but living like kind of on the edge. And just seeing, God, how did you do that? Just the miraculous way in which God provides. I was thinking back of so many testimonies, and I thought, because I would like to share stories. But when I went to work on the Mercy Ships, a Christian hospital ship, so I stepped out of my position at a church, and I felt like it was time, and you didn't get a salary. You don't get a salary. If you guys know YWAM, you don't get a salary. In fact, you pay crew fees. So you've got to pay to work there. So you've got to find your own funding and pay for all your airfares and everything that you do. So it's a step of faith to just go and trust God. And taking that step of faith, it was exhilarating. It was like, this is scary. It's like walking on the edge of the cliff and then going, okay, God, we're just going to step off here. And how are you going to provide? And then just seeing God's providence. No newsletters, no appeals, not visiting churches to ask for support, not giving anybody, emailing anybody, account numbers, just God's incredible providence. Not only for monthly needs, but then just crazy. A lady came to that Bible study I was talking about one night. This lady, there was this American lady at the Bible study. I'm thinking, how did she even find out about this? It's a little tucked away in a little scout hall. She came. She was at the Bible study that night. I went off to the ship. And from that lady, I found out I got two checks, so two donations of $1,000. And that was like 20 years ago. That was a lot of money. And I was like, Lord, how did you do that? And just the exhilaration of living when you're faithful in giving, and you just see God says, look what I can do. And haven't always got it right. Sometimes it's been scary. Sometimes it's been stretching. Some of that, when I had that money, there was a family needing to fly back from the ship, and I said, Lord, why have you given me this money? It's a lot of money. I should pray about it. And I felt the prompting to pay for an airfare, and I missed it. And to this day, I regret it. I was praying. I was too hung up. I should have just given. God would have just given more. And there's times when I've really missed it. But I'm telling you guys, it is exhilarating to live in this truth and just see out of the blue blessing upon blessing, providence upon providence. Funding for outreaches and missions over and over again. And I mean, you read the literature, you'll just see, and you'll know it from your own life. But I just trust that the Holy Spirit will stir that up in us to become cheerful givers. This is not a compulsion, but this is just amazing things that God will do. And we see here another great truth of this is in this passage, we see at the end it says, and what? Not only will the needs be met when we give, because God is generous, He's wanting to meet needs through His grace, but it will overflow in thanksgiving to God. And here we see the key truth about giving. It's the true motivation, is the motivation for our giving, the real motivation for our giving, is the thanksgiving and the praise and the glory to God. That's the reason why we do everything, actually, is that God should be praised, God should be honored, and God should be glorified. And we see that coming through in Proverbs 3, verse 9 and 10. And it says there, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. And I mean, prosperity preacher gets a hold of that. Guys, look at the outcome. Your vats will be bursting. Your garage will be full of cars. The driver will have a boat. You'll have all this blessing. That's why you should obey the scripture. But no, 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 let's do like what they do in the movies when they go back. How does this start? It says, honor the Lord with your first fruits. There's the motivation. Hallowed be thy name, Lord. Honor and glory and praise to you, God. When I give, I'm giving so that God can be glorified. And God can be exalted. This is a matter of the heart, and it's a matter of worship. And this is the thing that motivates us. That God should be praised. One of the Westminster catechisms states this. Man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. And that's what these passages are talking about. When we take what we have and what we've been given, we take our lives, all our gifts, all our resources, and we say, my chief aim on this planet, and actually for all eternity, is to glorify God and enjoy Him. And that's what we want to be the motive for everything that we do, and most especially in our giving. We want it to be that we can glorify God. We're called to be those worshippers. And how do we do that? It says here, honor the Lord with your wealth and the first fruits of your produce. And here's a concept that is so vital. We're going to have a look at it even a bit next week. It's so intertwined through so much scripture. It's such a fundamental truth of how this world works and how God's economy, how His oikonomics works. And we're gonna look at it and trust that it becomes so ingrained in us. But this idea of first fruits is that before we do anything else with our produce and in the modern context with our income, that we give the first fruits of it to the Lord. You're going to see we give the tithe of it to the Lord. So what we're doing when we do that is revealing what is first in our hearts. What's our first thought when we have resources? Oh, I've been thinking all month about that thing I want to get. Or, oh, I've got resources. How can I glorify my Father? How can I bless God? How can I make happy the God who loves a cheerful giver? How can I worship Him with these resources? And finances then become an incredible barometer of our spiritual condition. How we respond to the resources that we've been blessed with. And Luke 12 and verse 34 says this, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And the treasure and the heart are intricately linked. What our heart treasures, our resources will flow towards. So how we use our resources is a barometer, it's an indicator of the state of our hearts. And the Bible is very clear, it challenges us, and this is really interesting. Luke 16 verse 13, it says, No servant can serve two masters. He will either hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and he will despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. And isn't that interesting? Isn't that, Jesus says, it's about devotion. It's about worship. It's about service. And God and mammon. What's interesting in the original, and it comes through in the English, some English translations, the word there is an Aramaic word, mammon. And it actually means trust. And we'll look at that more in terms of the faith of giving. But mammon, and it's almost like a name, the word mammon in Aramaic. It's almost like a personality. It's like a god. And what Jesus is saying is if you love money, if you love mammon, you serve mammon, you can't serve God. You can't love money and love God. When you love God, your money becomes a servant because it's what you use as a good steward. You distribute according to the will and the pleasure of your Father. And money is an excellent servant. Isn't it great to be able to bless others? Isn't it great to be able to use our finances well so that our family thrives, so that others can be blessed, and so that the kingdom of God can advance? Money is it's a brilliant servant, but it is a terrible master. And what Jesus is saying is if you serve money, if you fail to be devoted to God, you'll become devoted to money. And money is a hard master. It drives you. You look at the television, you look at the adverts, And they say to you, you haven't got enough. Work a bit harder. Sacrifice more. You need more, 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 more. We're driven by a cruel and tyrannical master. We want to dethrone mammon and put God on the throne. He's a wonderful master. And money is an awesome servant. Where are we? So looking at our passage again in Proverbs, I'm just going to need to blow my nose, sorry. When we receive our income and we give God the first fruits, what we're doing is we're exalting God to the highest place. And we're doing it, we're making a declaration, but in a very practical way. In a very, it's a very heart-testing way. Because it's like, it's right there and it's very practical. And we go, Lord, we thought of you first. We're putting you first. We're exalting you. You are the priority over everything else that I could do with this first fruits. Everything else I could buy with it. Everything else I could do with it. I'm giving it to you because you are above all of those things. And it's worship. It's worship. It's saying God is better. God is first. God is primary. St. Augustine said this: the essence of sin is disordered love. And when we put God first, that's the order of the universe. When we put something else first, that's sin. It's disordered love. And giving is a place that we can just so powerfully declare God is first in our lives. And what we do is we dethrone self and we dethrone that ugly, awful, tyrannical master of mammon. We cast him down. We put God on the throne. And we say, you're the highest. You're the greatest. And what we do when we do that, we actually bring into our lives and we bring into our resources and we bring into our finances the divine order of the cosmos, of the heavens. Isn't that beautiful? That's why sometimes people say, can I afford to tithe? So I know you cannot afford not to tithe. Because when you give, you bring that divine order. You're putting God in the highest place. And you bring the divine order. Look at Revelation 5 and verse 11. It says, then I looked and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders and the voice of many angels. Angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying in a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. Can you see that beautiful worship in heaven? Can you see the balance, the power, the order? And we're recognizing that Jesus gave everything on the cross. God gave us everything in the indescribable gift of his Son. God has given us incredible grace. And here, all of creation is saying, the wealth, the power, the glory, the might, it all belongs to him. And when we take our resources and we put God first, we align ourselves with this great declaration. The declaration of the angels and the myriads around the throne. We're making that declaration in a very practical way. The devil can't argue with it. He can't say no. We said we cheerfully did that. And then Romans 11 verse 36 says this: for from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. Do you see that beautiful reality there? Do you see the cycle there? This is talking about Jesus. He created everything. He owns everything. And it says, from him, everything comes. Through him, everything comes. And to him, everything goes. From him and through him and to him. There's a cycle there. There's a circuit there. Another way that's switching on the switch comes in. When we give to the Lord, we close the circuit. We switch on the switch. And that divine order flows into our lives. The flight. When we leave out the two, we have the from him and through him, the from him, the through him. We shut the circuit and it doesn't flow. But when we do that to Him, then we find He gives us more than we can handle. He gives us bread for eating, meets all our needs, and seed for sowing. He gives us a whole lot more. He says, a cheerful giver. Somebody who's reflecting my heart. Somebody who's living in the principles of this dynamic of from me and to me and through me and through me and to me all things. Watch what I can do through that heart that's aligned with my generous heart. Watch what blessing I'm going to flow through into the world. And you know what happens? Your barns will be full. Your vats will overflow. But so that they can overflow into the world. Not so that we can go, oh, great. That's what this was all about. Me prospering. No, it was all about me prospering the world around me. It was about me bringing blessings so people can go, there is a God who loves me. There is a God who cares. This God is actually not what the television says about Him. He's not this lying, horrible. He's an incredibly loving, incredibly merciful, incredibly providing, saving God. I want to hear this message about the indescribable gift. What a gift, guys. What a thing for us to be the oikinomoi of God. Hearts that go, yes, Lord, I'm available. I'm going to put you first. I'm going to bring these principles to play into my life. And I'm going to watch what you do. Watch where you send me, what blessings flow through us as a church community. Isn't that wonderful? Please don't feel coerced in any way, which could be the nature of these scriptures, but they're not. If we've looked at them the way we've looked at them, God bursting with grace, bursting to give us gifts to serve and bless others around us as we worship Him and as He gets all the glory. Can we bow our heads and just pray to Him? Lord, I've enjoyed preaching this message this morning because, Lord, you know, Lord, you've showed me this over and over and over and over and over again, God. And it excites my heart, Lord. And I'm challenged too, Lord, because so easy to get comfortable. It's so easy to step back from the edge. It's so easy to start living without that exhilaration of knowing that through our giving, and we sometimes don't know if we give. We can't give when we don't have, Lord. But when we give, we think, how will God ever replace this to do what we need to do? And you always do it, God. There are times when we go through hard times, we can look at that. But Lord, thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for these incredible promises, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, free our hearts. Just today, I pray that you will free hearts in Jesus' name by the power of God's word and the power of the Holy Spirit. Those who've maybe lived under a burden, Lord God, of lack and of fear or even compulsion in giving, let there be a cheerfulness today. Let there be hilarity, a joy, a merriness, Lord, as we see the power and the beauty. Not just principles here, but the God who is the source of it all. The God whose heart is so bursting with generosity. Let us know you, God. Let us respond to you. Let us love you. And Lord, help us to bring blessing to our community, to the world around us. Help us to bring grace and the gospel, Lord. And bring down that stronghold of mammon over our nation, God. Bring down that stronghold of mammon that is driving those around us who are blinded to the truth of your grace, Lord, and let them come to know your grace. Please work in our hearts, Lord. Set us free in Jesus' name as we worship you, Lord. Let's worship Him.